You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Just trading war stories over here. CeCe and I as former players.
No, I'm playing hurt right now. I don't know. I've tweaked my calf, my ankle, or something. Like, my leg is swollen, and I can't figure out, like, what exactly did I do in the moving process to aggravate it like that. But then it got me to thinking, well, today might be the day that Evan Cohen could outrun me, which took us all down the rabbit hole during the break of the different conditioning drills that we've had to do in our athletic career.
Probably a mistake, me trying to match you. I'm like asking CeCe, hey, you ever do this? And I'm like, I played high school football.
I've never heard. You asked me about the snake conditioning drill.
So
I've never heard of it.
What we would do, I'm trying to match.
I've never heard
my
of
my high school with the Giants.
I've never heard
and the
of
Ravens
it.
And the Cowboys. So if you take a football field and you look at it like the width of the field.
Yeah.
And normally you're running the length of the field. We would do like you run from the end zone to the 5 yard line, then across again. Like you just basically do it. Like, you know what I'm saying? So we would do it where you'd have to crawl, you'd have to sprint. We do all these things. It's funny you bring this up because yesterday I was watching some of the pro day stuff, and I don't understand why we allow these players to run 40s without pads on. They'll never actually do that. Why don't we do any of these drills with padding on? They don't have to hit.
Oh, that's a good question.
But like, okay, Malik Nabers is really fast, LSU wide receiver. We know that. But he will never run in a game without a shirt and just shorts. I promise you.
Yeah.
Why don't they do all this stuff with actual equipment on?
Because who wants to do that?
But that's a real-life simulation.
Who wants to do that? I mean, like I said, like saying, oh, the quarterback needs to throw in full gear at the combine.
Yes.
Nobody needs to do that, though.
Why not?
Because you don't. Because you're still measuring all of the players based on their physical attributes. It's apples to apples because nobody's wearing gear. I don't think you have to wear the gear to get an accurate gauge of the athleticism that's on display from these players. You just don't. And here's the thing. If you want to know what they're capable of doing, what they look like in pads, just turn on the tape. That's what it's there for. So, I mean, this is just to be able to eyeball the guys, to be able to confirm all of the things that you've seen in your evaluation of the player in the pre-draft process. What did we see on tape? Does it match what we saw at the combine? Does it match what we see at the pro day? Mm-hmm. If they check all of those boxes, then great. If they don't, then we go back. If there are any red flags that pop out during the combine or the pro day, you go back and rewatch the tape, and then you make a final determination. But that's all it is. I don't think you have to wear full pads at the scouting combine when you're running a 40-yard dash. That's ridiculous.
But I'm a little surprised, though, that they haven't gone that way. You know, they're so thorough in their evaluations of these guys that I could see a world in which they want them to be and what they would wear on game day when they go through these drills.
Yeah. People in hell want ice water. Don't mean they're going to get it. Like, I mean, think about it. Like, we're already seeing players opt out of working out at the combine. Like, Marvin Harrison Jr. ain't worked out at all. Like, no pro day workout, no combine workout. I'll meet with the teams, but I'm training, getting ready for my rookie season.
And I don't
season.
Care about that.
Hey, but that's my point, though. Yeah. Like, that's my point. Like, if you're saying that the tape is the majority of the grade in the evaluation, then why all of a sudden am I going to get on board with wearing pads at the combine?
So why do we have any of these things? Why do we need any of these? Why do we need pro days? Why do we need combine? Outside of, like, the TV show and radio shows that it's become, why do we need any of that?
Well, because not every player comes from a Power 5 conference. Not every player comes from Division 1 football. So you do want to be able to evaluate all of these guys, and you want to be able to have a litmus, right? Like, you want to be able to say, okay, this is what this guy looks like from this conference, from this division versus this division. The combine is an opportunity to see them all together, and then you have a chance to check them out again at the pro day. So I do think there are data points, there are things to be gleaned from it. And then beyond all of those different things, just having an opportunity to put them in an environment that they're not used to and seeing how they react. Because they're going to a foreign environment that's not of their choosing when they step into the National Football League. So all of those things, putting them under those circumstances, matters to me in terms of how they're going to handle it, what their actual sports character looks like to me, is the biggest part of what you learn at the combine.
We're on Sportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance. Before we get into the big thing that happened last night, today, Smalls, you are rocking your Fighting Illini shirt.
You better believe it.
And your Illinois shirt. Your team is playing tonight, and your favorite sport starts today. So what is Michelle Smallman more excited about today, the Sweet 16 with Illinois or the opening day for Major League Baseball?
Well, it's definitely the Sweet 16 because the consequences of this game are incredible.
Yeah, it could be over.
It could be over, or you could be advancing to the Elite Eight. This is just the first game of many for the Cardinals. And now, if it was in St. Louis as opposed to L.A., I might feel a little differently because opening day in St. Louis is a holiday. It is like a religious experience for people in the 314, 636-618. Just cover all the area codes there.
Yeah, very important.
So I would have FOMO way more with that than I would today, even though I did consider going out to L.A. for the game.
Okay. All
right. But yeah, I mean, come on. We're talking Sweet 16 here.
All right. These are two things that are really important to you, obviously. Jess Mendoza is going to join us in about 10 minutes to talk more about baseball. But last night we saw something in the NBA that we've seen before, but not necessarily this way. We saw Draymond Green get kicked out of a game 4 minutes into the game. So now, immediately, if you're just hearing this for the first time, you're going to go to your social media, you're going to go to ESPN.com or put on SportsCenter and say, oh, I got to see this highlight. What did he do now? Is it like Nurkic? Is it like that situation or Gobert? No. It's nothing. It's literally him just annoyed that a foul call was made, and he started complaining to the referees. He didn't stop complaining to the referees. He got a technical foul. He walked away. This is 4 minutes into a win over the Orlando Magic, second night of a back-to-back without starting forward Jonathan Kuminga in there as well. And he just walks away from the referees knowing he's about to get a second tee because he did not stop, and he got thrown out of the game 4 minutes in. Steph Curry put his head in his jersey out of complete disappointment and shock in Draymond Green. I am an unabashed Draymond Green fan. I would want him on my team. What I saw last night was stunning to me because this was literally nothing triggering him. Got him thrown out of the game. They're in the midst of this run to try to make the play-in, a game ahead of the Rockets who have won 10 games in a row. And I, as a fan of this guy, was more frustrated last night than I was during the Nurkic or Gobert incidents because this was nothing. And that, CC, previously was at least something.
Yeah, I mean, this guy has 19 career regular season ejections, the second most in the last 25 years, trailing only Rasheed Wallace, who's got 25. He's not reliable, and you need him in this situation because you're a game in front of the Houston Rockets. Now, you got the head-to-head tiebreaker, so if you end up with the same exact record, you're going to be in the play-in and they'll be out. But still, why do you even want to make it close? Like, this is a game that you need against the top six team in the Eastern Conference, the Orlando Magic. And had it not been for the Magic missing their free throws, had it not been for Andrew Wiggins scoring 13 of his 23 points in the fourth quarter, had it not been for Steph Curry in the final minute hitting a dagger to make it a two-possession game, then your team could be on the losing side of that matchup last night. And you would be further in the hole. Like, I just don't understand why Draymond Green can't regulate himself, especially after we saw the incidents earlier this season that led to a lengthy absence.
And you never know when he's going to be activated, what's going to be the impetus for him to react in this way. And that is a liability for the Golden State Warriors.
Yeah, last night was a nondescript play, right? I mean, it was Paolo Banchero catching Andrew Wiggins out of position, bodying him up, getting to the rim. It was an and one. Okay, he laid the ball up, and one. It's early in the game. It's. I don't understand why that was the play to set him off. I don't get it, Smalls.
I don't get it either. But if that's the play that's going to set him off, why would we think that there won't be something else down the line that's going to garner the same reaction from him?
We wouldn't. And throughout all of these situations, when he was suspended indefinitely for the Nurkic situation, Yusuf Nurkic with the Suns, I thought he would be back. I thought they would have his back. I thought if anything went wrong, he would actually ask out somehow. Like, all right, I can't do this anymore.
But he hit Nurkic in the face. And this is after he choked out Rudy Gobert.
And for some reason, while that bothered me, I understood why the Warriors were saying, okay, we got to help this guy. We got to have his back. He's been so good to us. This one, there is no rhyme or reason as to why this happened. This was as borderline selfish as could be. That you can't make an excuse for this one. And Steve Kerr, I don't believe, did, the head coach of the Warriors postgame.
Yeah, too bad. It was unfortunate. He deserved it, he'll bounce back. I'm just proud of the guys for stepping up. Moses came off the bench, had a big game for us. Guy made a big three. You know, Gary was fantastic. So we had guys step up, and that's what it takes.
Yeah, and he did. There's no defending him anymore.
Yeah, and you can't
there's
put
no
your,
defending him.
You can't put your team in that situation. Remember, no Jonathan Kuminga last night for the Golden State Warriors as well. So they were already shorthanded, and to lose Draymond 4 minutes in the game because of that play, it's not because of an injury. It's not because of something that was outside of his control or outside of the team's control. Like, it's fully within his control, and it's his professional obligation to make sure that he's healthy. He's available on the court to be there to produce. And he's a big part of what they do. And you could see it on Steph Curry's face after the game. Like, you could tell he was disgusted. He was distraught. Like, whatever needs to happen in order to keep Draymond on the court, that's what needs to happen. That is Steph Curry telling Draymond Green, knock it off. I mean, at some point, your antics are going to cost us an opportunity to compete for a championship. Now, I have no illusions of what this Golden State Warriors team is. Even if they get into the playoffs, I think it's going to be an early exit. But, I mean, getting in the playoffs is something. At least you have a chance. You never know how it can shake out. Last year, we saw the Lakers get to the conference finals as a play-in team. Why would we think an organization, a team with championship DNA like the Golden State Warriors, wouldn't be capable of going on that type of run if they catch some breaks along the way in terms of matchups? I'm just saying you can't cost an all-time great player, Steph Curry, an opportunity to get into the playoffs and show just how good he can be on that stage.
I'm so glad he brought up the Steph Curry of it all, because his reaction to this last night tells me all I need to know about the dynamics within that locker room and everything that's happening here, because they have supported Draymond every which way. They've, even when there were consequences that he had to handle and contend with, they've had his back. They've supported him, and they have said to him, we need you. Like, we understand that you're fiery approach is beneficial to us in a lot of ways, but there's a line here that you cannot cross. But they,
where is that line though? Okay, I'm sorry to cut you off.
No, go
but
ahead.
Where is that line though? Like, I mean, if it's not,
well, there's a difference between being an agitator and punching someone or choking
sure,
someone.
Sure, sure. But I guess my question is, like, we would think that he would learn his lesson and not come close to that anymore, and yet you're seeing him, like, he's grabbing the official. Like, they said he stepped on Ray Acosta's foot. Like, where's the line? He's broken the I don't want to say he's gone beyond the pale when it comes to professional conduct and hard fouls against other NBA players. He broke the contact barrier last night with the officials. Like, this is a guy that choked Rudy Gobert. He punched Jokic in the face. Like, where's the line? He stepped on an official's foot. He kept mouthing off at him after the guy gave him a technical. Where is the line for Draymond Green?
Well, the examples you're bringing up are the previous ones, the physical ones. You could literally sit there as just a regular person and look at that and say, there is a man that lost it, just completely lost it, was not himself in that moment. You can't say he lost it last night. He just started screaming and yelling at the refs in a way that was not, like, harmful to another human. It was just like, what are you doing? And I have defended Draymond Green, and I will continue to defend Draymond Green, the player. If he were to play 48 minutes for the Golden State Warriors every single night, they would win more games than not. He is that good at basketball. But what he does to the rest of his team, and putting Steph Curry in a position where he literally had to put his head in his shirt and probably scream and yell internally of, like, I can't show my emotions, but I am so agitated with this guy that I've had his back every which way, and he's had mine, to be fair. How does he do this to me?
But you also can't separate that behavior from Draymond Green, the player, because it impacts what happens on the court. So you can't just say, from a skill set point of view, he's this and I will defend him, without taking the behavior into account here, because that literally impacts the results that we see from the Golden State Warriors.
Right. I mean, listen, the edge that he plays with is no doubt what made him great, what made him a Hall of Famer.
You're
like,
right.
There's no question about it. But you start to wonder, is the juice worth the squeeze? Is Draymond Green more of a liability now than somebody that you can rely on to elevate the play of everybody around him? That's the thing that we don't know. But with each incident that happens, I think we're getting closer and closer to the Golden State Warriors showing Draymond Green the door. And based on how this thing ends, that could happen this summer.
It's MLB opening day. Jess Mendoza, ESPN MLB analyst, will join us next. We're on Sportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply. For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
It is MLB opening day, and we got no doubt Gwen Stefani playing right now. And that is because Jess Mendoza is here, along with Michelle Smallman, Chris Canty, Evan Cohen with you. All right, go ahead. Tell everybody about your Gwen Stefani love and obsession, right?
Absolutely. I saw her in concert when I was in college, and she was doing straight-up push-ups while singing I'm Just a Girl. Like, I just – and going back to, like, the 90s and, you know, aging myself, of course, is, like, you didn't have a lot of, like, female just total badass, like,
yeah,
rock stars. And she – I mean, not only could she sing, and no doubt, she's from Southern California like me. Just the way that she could carry an audience, and she was freaking ripped.
Oh yeah, the Gwen Stefani Eve collab is top tier.
Oh yes, let me blow your mind.
All time features, yeah,
so good.
Yeah, that's top tier.
Well, some may not realize the best rooms around here are the makeup rooms and the green rooms. And yes. So the other day, I walk in, and Jess and others are just like literally blasting
right,
Gwen Stefani,
right.
and all in on that. I'm like, what is happening right now? What did I just walk into? Well, everybody's gonna walk into opening day today. The Rangers and the Cubs coverage begins tonight, 7 p.m. Eastern, here on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. Opening day in baseball, better than any other opening day?
Yes. So I'm actually ranking this later on First Take, and by far in professional sports, there's nothing like it. You got all 30 teams, you know, barring weather, like, yeah, that get to play on one day. Plus, just historically, of course, America's pastime. It's this national holiday. People are walking around like the grocery store, like, happy opening day. Like, it's like, yeah, Christmas, you know? I only had the Olympics as, like, you know, opening ceremony. This is like total bias as an Olympian, is like any kind of opening that would ever be better. But when it comes to professional sports, it doesn't get any better than Major League Baseball's opening day.
Jess, I'm the resident Yankees fan, and so the absence of Gerrit Cole is looming large. According to Baseball Reference, they have the lowest projected win total of anybody in the AL East. So I'm curious, from your perspective, can this lineup slug their way to overcoming the absence of Gerrit Cole, at least in the early going?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a concern, obviously, having Gerrit Cole start in the AL. I also think a concern is DJ LeMahieu starting on the injured list as well, because to me, getting Marcus Stroman, you know, being able to have other pitchers that can provide and produce, at least early on, knowing that you're going to get Cole, this team couldn't hit last year. Like,
yeah,
it wasn't the starting pitching that you were concerned about. It definitely was, can they slug? I don't think people realize they were 25th in all of baseball in runs. Like, they flat out didn't score. Their OPS, they were one of the worst teams. Aaron Judge, I mean, he would hit home runs, but no one was on base. Out of his 99 career home runs, only 64 of them were solo shots. Mm. So Juan Soto, I mean, I just feel like this is the year I have him picked as the MVP. Big reason why, he's got Judge, big dude behind him to be able to hit in front of him. But just him getting on base, not even hitting home runs, just get on base for the dude that can really slug, and that's Aaron Judge.
Jess, I am a Cardinals fan, and they open up with the Dodgers today. So I have to ask you, of course, about L.A. Just because you acquire a lot of talent and a lot of star power does not mean it's always going to work out. But when you look at this Dodgers team, do you think that they're going to match our expectations for them?
It's hard because this is opening day, but like, there was baseball to be had last week,
yep,
in South Korea. And watching Yoshinobu Yamamoto struggle, you're talking about $325 million. And as much as we've talked about Shohei Ohtani being the biggest acquisition, Tyler Glasnow you get excited about,
mm-hmm,
Yoshinobu Yamamoto is supposed to be the ace this year. He, mm-hmm, is supposed to be the dude. In fact, he is the highest paid pitcher in the history of the sport. Like, I get it's one game, but that definitely gives me pause, because this is a team that wins a whole lot of games in the regular season. They've been honestly the best team in baseball the last 10 years, in their division, but they cannot produce in October outside of that 2020 season, that shortened season. And so to me, like, they have to show me that Yamamoto is going to be the pitcher that they paid for.
Mm-hmm. We're talking with Jess Mendoza, of course, ESPN MLB analyst. Opening day today here, ESPN radio coverage begins tonight, 7 p.m. Eastern, Rangers and the Cubs. Do you expect Ohtani to be eligible to play for 162 games this year?
Yes. And the reason is, you know, obviously there's going to be a lot of investigation, a lot of things, you know, hopefully more information, which is needed, needs to come out. But as of now, even let's say, you know, we find out possibly that like, worst case, you know, that he did gamble. Now, I do not believe that he bet on baseball. That would have been the stupidest thing anyone could ever do. But let's say he's a gambler. Let's say it was $4.5 million. Let's say, like, he lied. You know, you don't get banned from baseball or, you know, suspended from baseball for doing that. You know, the bookmaker, you know, is the one that's under a federal investigation. None of the athletes that gave to this bookmaker are in trouble. It's the bookmaker themselves. So to me, it's just more of like a black eye for him and for the sport for if it is a cover up. But in my opinion, right now, what he is saying, they're trying to move on, and we'll see how long it takes for a lot more information to come out.
Ronald Acuña is the reigning NL MVP. It feels like he's one of the best young players, not just in baseball, but in all of professional sports. I mean, does he – I guess my question is, with Ohtani being such a dynamic star – like, does it overshadow what we've seen from Ronald Acuña Jr., especially with the campaign he came off of last year?
I was literally just talking about that this week. Like, the dude stole 73 bases last year and hit 41 home runs. And, like, nobody was really talking about it.
No.
Like, I mean, yes, you were mentioning it after you're talking about Shohei and so many other things that are happening in the sport. And I get it. Like, you know, Shohei Ohtani is who he is. But I 100% agree. Ronald Acuña Jr. is the most exciting player. Like, if you're just looking at, like, what we're seeing in baseball, especially new baseball, with more stolen bases, more action, more defense, like, just on the athleticism, like, he's your dude. And those numbers, I mean, I don't even know if he could ever replicate that. They're talking about he's going to probably steal less this year, maybe hit more home runs. 73 stolen bases.
Wow.
Like, that's incredible.
Yeah, it's crazy, Jess. So we've talked a lot about the Yankees. We talk about the Braves. We talk about the Dodgers. Who's a sneaky team that people may not be talking about that you think people need to be paying attention to?
Did you mention the Baltimore Orioles?
I did not, but okay, I love that Orioles team.
Yeah, no, and I think, you know, as far as teams that keep going under the radar, I mean, they won the East last year, and in a division that does get a lot of attention because of the other teams, like, that are in that division. No. But then because of that, it's the conversation is what's wrong with the Yankees, what's wrong with the Red Sox, instead of what's right with the Baltimore Orioles. And oh, by the way, like, you know, they went out and got Corbin Burnes. He's going to lead up that rotation. You've got Jackson Holliday, who is the number one young player. He's not on their opening day roster, but he is coming, folks, and he is an exciting player to watch.
He's a stud.
So much youth and the best farm system on all of baseball. So they win the East, they're only going to get better. And that's just a team that's just not getting a lot of attention because of who else is in the division.
Who's more likely to do this year what they were supposed to do last year, the Mets or the Padres?
So not be good. I think the Mets is the team that I think continues to have that pressure and will continue to struggle. The Padres, you know, watching them last week, and I live out west, I have hope that they can finally perform the way the expectations. And they're not as good of a team on paper. I mean, obviously they don't have Juan Soto, Josh Hader, a lot of the main, like Snell, like the players they had last year. But I think that's better for them. I think they do better when there isn't that, like, all-star power. And Fernando Tatis Jr. is another player that I think we are going to be talking a whole lot about this year.
Jess, speaking of teams that are breaking through, I don't know that you can say that there was a better postseason environment in recent playoff history than what we saw at Citizens Bank Park with the Phillies. Is this the year that Pat Costello, our resident Phillies fan, his team actually breaks through?
I mean, it is so hard right now with how good the Dodgers and Braves are to put them past them, but they've done it.
They
comes to October. I get in this time of year and you just look at a team and, like, the Braves are the best team in all of baseball on paper. The Dodgers went and bought everybody. Like, so how do you not pick them? But the Phillies, that postseason, there's something about it, right? And so when we come October, I think we're going to be having the same conversation and be like, Jess, remember when I was telling you about those Phillies and you kept, you know, talking about the Braves and Dodgers? I do hope for baseball, though, that the Braves or the Dodgers are able to get further in October just because they've got all the stars.
Mm. Jess, I can't let you get out of here without asking about the NL Central. It feels open this year. Which team do you think is going to come out on top?
I know you want me to say the Cardinals.
I don't think you're going to say them. I think you might say the Cubs.
Yeah, I definitely think the Cubs. I think both Centrals, AL and NL, you know, have just, they've been so much weaker than what we've seen in the past. Mm-hmm. And you're expecting, you know, so much more. But I do think the Cubs have a lot more. They've had a lot of change, you know, not just their staff, their manager, but also player personnel. I don't know. I think it could get fun, though, if the Cardinals can figure some stuff out as well. I like the Cubs.
Jess Mendoza, ESPN MLB analyst. You'll see her all over First Take today and at Gwen Stefani concerts near you. We're on Sportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRICEbikes.com.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
MLB opening day today. We'll do a little fill in the blank MLB edition. All right, you guys ready for this?
Let's do
it. I'm ready.
All right, here we go. American League winner. Smalls.
I'm going to go with the Baltimore Orioles. I love this squad. They have a lot of talent on this team already, a lot of young talent. And they have, as Jess Mendoza just mentioned with us, the top-ranked farm system in baseball. Jackson Holliday, shockingly, for some reason, did not make the opening day roster. But as she said, he is coming and he is a stud. They are going to continue to add to their already stacked roster. I think they're going to grow from where they were last year. I love this Orioles team. I think they break through. They go to the World Series.
CeCe.
I'm going to go with the Houston Astros. What have they been in the CS, what, six, seven straight years?
They know what they're doing.
Yeah, they know what they're doing. So I'm going to go with the Houston Astros. I mean, they still got Altuve. They still got Bregman. I love Yordan Alvarez. I don't think he gets enough credit as being one of the best hitters in all of baseball. I mean, he's projected to hit 37 home runs. It would be his fourth straight season with north of 30 home runs. Give me the Houston Astros.
I'm going with the Baltimore Orioles as well. Small said it. We can keep it moving. Since you already broke it down, Smalls, National League winner.
I'm going with the Atlanta Braves. They are just absolutely stacked. They're trying to get their seventh consecutive division title, kind of like with the Astros. This team knows what they're doing. And I despite the Dodgers being the team that we talk about with all of the talent in the world, I think it's the Braves again that break through.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one on the Braves. Ronald Acuña Jr. is one of the best young players in all of sports, not just baseball. The guy is absolutely dynamic, but that is a complete team, and I love their manager, Brian Snitker. I think he does a great job of feeling the heartbeat of the game, which is something that's absolutely critical when it comes to matching up against supremely talented teams like they're going to face in the National League.
God, their offense is so good.
It's so good.
Well, I just looked it up. Good. 307 home runs last year. They are just insane.
Well, I'm going to go with the Phillies. since
to please, Pat.
Yeah, I just want Pat to stop complaining. So, yeah, I'm going to go with the Phillies. Smalls,
next. Is that the only reason why?
Oh, yeah, I changed everything just to annoy Pat. World Series champion, go ahead, Smalls.
I think it's the Baltimore Orioles. I think they're going to win the World Series this year. Maybe that's a little bit of it's a heart and a head pick, because if my World Series matchup does come to fruition, beating the Braves is a tall task, but there's just something about this Orioles team. I believe in them.
I hate to say this because I'm a Yankees fan, but I think it's going to be the evil empire strikes
no.
again.
No.
Yeah, the Houston Astros. I think they're going to get it done again. Like, I listen, I know everybody wants to hate on the Astros and saying, well, they cheated to win their championships. No, this is a really, really good baseball team. They were – maybe they crossed the line, habitual line steppers, when it comes to getting an unfair competitive advantage. But they are a really, really good baseball team. They're a complete team, and I think they get it done this year.
Well, speaking of complete teams, there's no more complete team than the Philadelphia Phillies, of course.
Oh, my gosh.
Just to put it right on Pat, I'm going to pick the Phillies to win the World Series. Obviously,
great pick.
Yeah, been really good recently. Harper went healthy. Trey Turner, I mean, why not? Signed Zach Wheeler to a huge deal. Great song to go along with everything. What's it called again, Pat? I forgot.
Dancing on my own.
Dancing on my own. Thank you. Yeah. So we're just going to really just stick it to Pat today. All right. Next one. Smalls, fill in the blank. MVP.
Which one?
Both. Sorry. Okay. MVPs. Sorry. I didn't put the plural on that.
Okay. I didn't know which one. All right. In the AL, even though I don't think the Yankees are going to have the team success that they desire, I think Juan Soto is going to be the MVP. He's a pending free agent. He's going on a massive stage. He's going to get so many pitches to hit in front of Aaron Judge. He's going to have that short porch in Yankee Stadium. I think he's going to absolutely rake this year. I think we're talking Juan Soto, AL MVP. And do you want both of them right now? Okay, National League, I'm going with Ronald Acuna. He is electric. Despite the historic year he had last year, he's already setting his sights higher. He says he thinks he might have a 50-50 season in him after a 40-41. I think that he's going to continue to be as spectacular as he was last year. I'm going with Acuna in the National League.
All right, in the AL, I'm going with Julio Rodriguez from the Seattle Mariners.
Love J-Rod.
I mean, this guy is second player in Mariners history with 30-30 season. I mean, joining Alex Rodriguez. That guy confirmed pretty good at baseball, even with the PED scandal aside. But, I mean, he was absolutely phenomenal. I mean, this guy has been great. He's the only player in Major League Baseball history to reach 60 home runs and 60 stolen bases within their first two seasons. So Julio Rodriguez, I think, is a bright spot, not only for the Mariners organization, but for baseball. And that's a team that could be a sneaky AL West contender. Mm-hmm. So give me Julio Rodriguez in the American League and in the National League. Smalls, I'm with you. I'm on the Ronald Acuna train. I've been talking about it all morning long. I think this guy is absolutely phenomenal. There's nothing that he can't do at a high level on a baseball field, on a baseball diamond. He's just special when it comes to flashing the leather in the field, at center field, when it comes to stolen bases, when it comes to being able to hit for power, when it comes to being able to hit for average. There's nothing that he can't do. He is a true five-tool player.
How could you not pick someone who hit 41 home runs and stole 73 bags last year? It just feels like the wise decision.
But we don't talk about him enough.
We definitely do not.
We definitely don't.
So, yeah, I was going to pick J-Rod, but I'll go somewhere else just for fun here. I'll go with the defending World Series champion, Rangers, and Corey Seager. Mm. Coming off the confidence with everything he did in the postseason last year, I think he could have a good year this year. Obviously, their offense is great. They're waiting for Scherzer to get back from a pitching perspective. Maybe the best manager in the sport. The best manager in the sport. Bruce Bochy is the best manager. When you win the World Series with two different teams and you take three different teams to the World Series and you do it in your first year last year with the Rangers, best manager. Well, NL MVP, I wanted to find a way to go with Elly De La Cruz, but since now I'm going to have to go all in on the Phillies, I'll go Trey Turner. Trey Turner,
oh,
I mean, really.
Bryce Harper.
Nope, I'm going to go Trey Turner. If Trey Turner doesn't win the MVP, the Phillies don't win the World Series. I mean, really, it's a horrible season, and we'll really have to get on path there. So there you go.
No Corbin Carroll in the National League?
You can make the argument.
You can make the argument. I can't argue against Ronald Acuna.
That's
Jr.
the thing.
I just can't argue like that. And making that argument, you're saying you're taking him over Ronald Acuna Jr.
That's the problem. You could make the case for others, but then you'd have to make the case against Acuna, and I just can't do that.
I can't do it.
All right. Most disappointing team this year, Major League Baseball.
It's going to be the LA Dodgers because their World Series are bust, and I think it's going to be bust. I don't think that they win the World Series this year, and we are going to give them a whole bunch of trouble for it.
You wish all the bad things in sports happen to the Dodgers.
I'm just saying. You assemble that team to win a World Series, and if you don't, it's nothing less than a disappointment. So I don't know how they're not going to be the most disappointing team in baseball.
Well, yeah, I mean, a team that starts the season World Series or bust every year is the New York Yankees, the team I root for.
Exactly.
I mean, Nuno and I are both skeptical of what they're going to be able to do this year. So I think they're going to end up having the most disappointing year. Aaron Boone and Brian Cashman potentially out the door. I mean, Joe Torre is looming around the organization. Really, really interesting
Joe
development.
Joe Torre?
Yeah.
Or Joe Girardi.
Joe Girardi.
Because Joe Torre was there last week.
He was.
He actually brought out the lineup card and everything like that. But Joe Girardi. See, I like Joe Girardi.
Both of them have been around.
I like Joe Girardi.
Both of the Joes have been around.
Two Joes?
Yeah, two Joes.
I would take Joe Girardi over Aaron Boone in 2 seconds. I'm telling you, I'd hire Joe Girardi to be my general manager.
Yeah, Joe Girardi's working at the Yes Network, right?
I know,
yeah,
but yeah, people think of him as the manager. I'm telling you, I think he could be the general manager of the Yankees. Just keep an eye on that. I'm just throwing that out there as an idea. So I don't know that we can say the Yankees could be most disappointing if we're going to continue to reiterate the 71 wins.
Right.
So I'm going to go along your lines of when we have such high hopes for a team, and if they don't reach it, I'll go the Braves. It's not that I think they're going to be bad, but if they don't win the World Series or get to the World Series, we're going to look at it as a disappointment this year. So I'll go Braves. And, with the Phillies, I'm all in on the Phillies, I guess, now. And I think the Mets are going to be a little bit better than people realize. I think David Stearns, the general manager, is really good and really smart. And I think they're going to progressively increase and get better here over the course of time. The other team that I'm really interested would be the Cubs.
Mm-hmm.
Because the division is down. Milwaukee's had so many injuries. You're down on your own team in the Cardinals. The Reds are hot, but they've had an injury recently in terms of, like, Ellie De La Cruz. I want him to be the face of baseball. It would be great.
He's coming. He's on the precipice after what we saw from him last year. Coming,
yeah. And they made a huge move in Chicago in getting Craig Counsell. If that does not work out this year, everybody's going to say, hey, wait a minute, you're paying your manager that amount of money and you don't win a division. Another team to keep an eye on. But I'll go the Braves just because if they're supposed to be that good and they're not, that would allow for them to be the most disappointing.
I mean, I could throw my own team in the hat here in the Cardinals. If you don't win the NL Central when it is a down year and you have Paul Goldschmidt, you have Nolan Arenado, and you have all that young talent that you've acquired and Jordan Walker, Mason Wynn, and they don't take that next step, that's a bad look.
Quickly, Smalls, will either of the two late offseason NL West pitching acquisitions mean anything? Snell to the Giants, Montgomery to the Diamondbacks.
I think both those matter a lot. That's a really, really tough division. I love the Diamondbacks and adding Jordan Montgomery to that mix. They're going to be, I don't want to say right there with the Dodgers because the Dodgers are just, they right now seem so formidable, but they're right there. And the Giants should be a playoff team. They have a lot of talent on that team.
All right, coming up, America's analyst Tim Legler will join us. Wild night around Draymond Green last night, specifically in the NBA. We'll get to that next. It's Unsportsmanlike on ESPN Radio. Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Analyst is here, Tim Legler. Give him anything, he can analyze it. So before we get to Draymond and what happened last night in the NBA, we've been talking today about movies, which is your specialty.
Ooh.
You had a monthly pass to the AMC theaters for unlimited movies.
A-list. A-list.
He's an A-lister. Legs is an A-lister.
12 movies a month for $20 if you want to go.
What a deal.
I didn't have a two-year-old at the time, so the A-list is not. It's like this D-list now. I don't quite get there as much.
I wasn't going to bring this up, but you want to talk about analyzing anything? You want to talk about the Papa Shot video because you're with your two-year-old?
Oh, I mean, he heated up for a second, but his left hand was too involved. His left hand was way too involved in the shots.
We'll
work. He's getting the work in though. That's what I care about.
Getting the work in.
Shots up.
All right. So the movie franchise that you could see unlimited amounts of movies for. In other words, like I said about Bad Boys, they're coming out with Bad Boys 4. If you said Bad Boys 100, I'd go see it. CC said, what did you say?
Mission Impossible.
Any amount. Small said Sex in the City. Any amount of movies. Is there a movie franchise for you?
Probably Halloween.
Any amount?
Yeah. And I've seen them all. I've seen every single one of them. As bad as they got, I saw them all.
Well, you are an A-lister.
You give me Michael Myers on my team, by the way. I'll take a Michael Myers on my team. Talk about a dude that plays every night.
Yeah. I mean, come on. You can't be Michael Myers.
No load manager.
Shows up every night, believe me. And he's been through a lot.
I guess that allows you to transition to Draymond Green.
Oh, God almighty. All right, Legs. What did you see?
It works.
It works.
What did you see from Draymond last night, and how did it make you react?
I had this visceral reaction watching it. And I have no dog in the fight other than the fact that I like to watch Steph Curry play basketball. Okay, that's the only emotional investment I have in this. I like watching him. I like covering that team. That had nothing to do with this, because the first thing that jumped out at me was there's no other word for what Draymond did last night and most of these episodes than selfish. There's no other word for it. You are putting yourself and your own emotions and your desire to vent and, by the way, act like you're a victim, which is the thing that blows me away the most. Draymond always tries to act like he's been victimized or targeted in these situations. It was a bad call. Banchero tripped over his own feet. I get it. Your team is hanging off a cliff by a rope. And number 30, by the way, your teammate, has put rings on fingers and money in bank accounts. He wants to desperately make the playoffs, and you left him out there by himself on a night when you have to have the game. And you are the primary defender on their best player. And Kuminga's already out. Those are the two guys to guard him, Pablo Banchero, and Kuminga's not playing, so it's even more on your shoulders, and you left these dudes flapping in the wind because you just couldn't put a break on your emotions because you just had to get that vent in there. And now you're walking to the locker room, and I think Steph Curry's reaction actually said way more than anything I just did. The way he just sort of stared off into space, he bent over. Kerr came over to him like he was physically ill. He put his jersey over his face. He walked around, and he was in a malaise for the first few minutes after that. And then miraculously, on a night he didn't really play great, he wins the game at the end anyway. You know, one of the best wins of the year for them. And the only word that jumped in my mind was selfish, man. That's just, how else can you describe that when you don't have accountability to your teammates and how badly they need you? That's it.
I mean, last night's ejection was just the latest in a long line of incidents that's happened just this year, Legs, when it comes to Draymond Green. It's starting to feel like the juice might not be worth the squeeze when you look at the Warriors organization. I'm curious from your perspective, do you think they have conversations this summer about moving on from Draymond?
There's no question about it. I think that they're going to talk about all kinds of stuff, depending on how this ends up playing out. And I think, look, even if they hold off the Rockets and they get into the play-in, the chances of them, I think, winning two games aren't going to be great to get out of the play-in. So you're going to be going home very early, and they're going to have all kinds of conversations, not just about him. They're going to talk about Wiggins, and they're going to talk about Moses Moody, and they're going to talk about what about Chris Paul, and they're going to talk about all of that stuff. It's not easy because I don't know Clay even. They're going to talk about, he's a free agent. They're going to talk about that too. It's not easy because they're not going to bring back the type of return to go around Steph Curry to keep you competitive. And if you have Steph Curry on your roster right now, 36 years old, who's still playing at an elite level, it's incumbent upon you. You owe it to Steph Curry to have a team around him that can at least compete. I don't think they're going to win another championship in the Steph Curry era in Golden State. I don't think he ever wears another uniform, so it's probably over for him. But you owe it to him to go out trying to put players around him that can compete, and you're not going to get that kind of haul back for those guys. Are they going to visit it? Absolutely. And look, maybe Draymond would be the one guy, because look, there are teams out there that are going to look at him and say he could be the one piece we need because he facilitates the defense.
Come to Death Row Records.
And then you'll deal with whatever two or three nights like this happen a year, and you know you'll deal with that. And there are teams that are going to think that way. For Golden State, it just looks like they are spent. There's no other word for it. They're worn out by all of this. And I thought Curry summed it up without saying a word in the moment.
Tim, do you think that there's another team outside the Lakers that CeCe just mentioned that if we're on the precipice of the end with Draymond and Golden State, that would be a good fit for him?
I could name a ton of teams. There's probably 8 to 10. Miami in a second. Think about what he would mean for a team like Phoenix.
Never say never. But when you bring up the Draymond of it all, I just think what complicates it is the leadership within your locker room. Yeah. Like, you've got to make sure that you're buttoned up when it comes to team chemistry to absorb a personality like Draymond Green.
I agree with that. There's not a lot of leadership in Phoenix, but I also agree if there's one word that kind of describes that team right now, Draymond addresses that. It's soft at times. It's soft defensively, and it's just soft, I think, even handling adversity within games. The way that they get dejected so easily when teams make runs on them, I've seen it all year. Draymond would answer a lot of that. Now, it might be combustible, but I'm just saying, look, you got those guys together and you get bounced in the play-in, like that's how bad your season was relative to expectations, yeah. you're willing to roll the dice on just about anything at that point.
We're talking with America's Analyst. He's an A-lister, by the way. 12 movies for how much a month?
12 movies, about 20 bucks a month.
20 bucks
if
a month.
If you want to go three times a week. You know, it sounds like you're a real loser, but listen. Listen, if you got a wife that wants to do the same thing, at least you're not going by yourself.
There okay, you go. Got it.
That's
all right.
A crazy good deal.
Oh, you can't beat it. I'll talk to you more about it off the air.
Okay, great. Looking forward to that conversation. Yeah.
I was more bothered by Draymond last night than I was with Gobert.
Man.
Yeah. And Nurkic. And the reason I was is because at least I could actually reason with those two of there was maybe slightly possibly a reason for him to act the way he acted. Last night, I have no defense for his actions.
Here's the only thing. Okay, the one caveat with that is this. He potentially could have hurt two players.
Yes, understood.
Yeah. And he did. He hurt Nurkic. And Gobert, I think, was more shocked than anything. But that could have been a serious situation. So that's why I wouldn't necessarily go that far. But to your point, in the one case, you're physically engaged with another player in the moment, right? And it's going back and forth with the Nurkic case.
Right.
And you kind of lose it. It's happened before in the NBA. The thing with Gobert, you know, he tried to justify that by saying, you put hands on a teammate, and now I'm going to come over there and, right? So that was almost like somehow in his mind, honorable.
Right.
That's how he was justifying it. This, it's a bad call. You start mouthing off. You put your hand on an official's arm. You get a tech. How long was it from the first tech to the ejection? You had all that time. We were just talking about this on Get Up. Like, why wasn't someone in there with an intervention with his hands around and pulling him out of there? I mean, do you know how many times they've tried that? And my analogy was, it's like going to a bar all the time with that one friend that always gets in fights. Mm. And one night, you decide, I'm just going to let him get his ass kicked. And that's kind of what you do. Seriously. And you kind of walk away from it. You kind of go, I can't reason with him right now. You looked at all those coaches and the players. That's exactly what they were thinking. It's not going to have an effect on him in the moment. So they walk away from it, and he just won't stop. That referee did not want to throw him out of the game.
He was waiting.
He didn't want to.
No.
You get to the point where you're now, as an official, by the way, you're also a man. At some point, you go, enough is enough of this. Now you're literally trying to completely humiliate me. You've given me no choice. I tried to walk away from you. You won't stop. You got to go. And now he goes back in the locker room, and he greets his teammates. How many times have we seen that? He's outside the locker room giving hugs and daps after they win the game without him. And like last night, I felt it was a little bit less heartfelt what he was getting in return from his teammates.
Oh, Steph Curry was he was doing the bedtime sign.
Yeah.
Steph Curry.
And they made, look, and at least Steve Kerr said he deserved it. They usually don't even go that far in protecting him. And I also hate prefacing with all he's done for the organization every time we talk about
this. We got to run, Legs. Sorry. I apologize.
Man. I didn't have my earpiece in. I could talk about this forever. I'm hot.
I think you're going to. Yeah. We're on Sportsmanlike on ESPN Radio.
Sorry, I didn't have my earpiece.
Thanks for listening to the Unsportsmanlike podcast on ESPN Radio. You can listen to Unsportsmanlike live weekdays from 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and on SiriusXM Channel 80. You can also watch on ESPN2 and on ESPNU. Unsportsmanlike with Evan Canty and Michelle.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric E-Bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.